Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is Authentic Conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And this week, we've got week three in a series of interviews that I did with seasoned leaders. They're all followers of Jesus. They're all successful in their own right in business and in leadership. And this week, we're bringing to you Ford Taylor of TransformLead.com. Ford built a $300 million business before getting out of that and actually stepping into consulting, training, and leadership development. And literally, he does this nationally and internationally. And you're going to enjoy yourself. Just the humility that comes through him and the way he leads is amazing. I've personally benefited from his leadership and influence and mentoring in my life, and trust that you will the same. If you lead the or listen to this and want more, we're actually offering a workshop with Ford March the 25th to 26th. It's called Transformational Leadership. And if you're wanting to grow in a strong personal relationships, cultivating healthy teams, high-performing teams, and removing constraints to empower growth in your organization, make sure you check that out. It's two sessions, 4 hours one day, 4 hours the next day. You get the workbook, you get 90 days access to Transform Lead on Demand. That's a series of videos and training that can be continued for you in your organization afterwards, and you can find out more heaveninbusiness.com/events. So without anything further, I want to introduce you to Ford Taylor.
In our current company, Andy, I really play the role as founder. So we have a CEO and a CFO, and but as the founder, what I believe my role is what I call the definition of leadership, which is to lay my life down for those with whom I lead or have influence. And I believe my number one role in the process of doing that is what I call V, steal, and lead, which is to cast a clear vision. And then once the vision is cast, it's to serve our team through teaching, training, and equipping them. And once they're taught, trained, equipped, then they're fully empowered. And then my job is to let go and let them go be, fulfill their destiny toward a common vision. And then my job is really just to evaluate how they're doing.
So, and I understand, just roll me back a little bit, because there's a depth of character that you've walked in terms of years of body scars of leadership. So the first company that you built, tell me just the snapshot of this, the 30-second version of your track record in building companies in the States.
Well, I had an opportunity when I was 25 to buy a company that was about to go bankrupt, and I'd never heard the term due diligence at the time, so I bought it, and by the grace of God, it was successful. Over the next 16 years, we went from 5 employees. Our first year was $180,000 a year in sales. And over the next 16 years, we were the largest in our industry in America, which was about a $300 million company with about 2,000 employees. And in that track record, a lot of success, but a lot of failures. I had a lot of insecurity from being sexually abused as a child. And that insecurity showed up in a lot of arrogance. And as you know, Andy, I ended up cheating on my spouse for a number of years, but praise God, she knew what unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness is. And when I shared it with her, I looked right into the eyes of Jesus and she forgave me. And now we're fortunate to be able to do what we do and have a wonderful marriage.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much we could dive in on here. The stories of what you walk out, this is what I love the most about you. There's many people that can teach on leadership. There's few that teach from authentic, vulnerable lessons that your book is full of, your life is full of, and I've been able to walk with you. And the stories that you've told me, even around you and Sandra, and the last, I think you said 18 years since that mess up and clean up, and how there's so many people that you've been able to lead through restoration of their own marriages because of your own journey. So Ford, if I just had to jump straight in, what's the hardest recent? So you sold that company, then you've been consulting, coaching, teaching, training business people, seeing companies turn around. That's an ongoing story for you. And actually being able to do that internationally with some governments, which is phenomenal. So many different stories. But what's the latest leadership decision that you've had to make that's been difficult? And how did you make it?
Well, probably the hardest one for me, Andy, was in June of 2000. I believe that the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to take global if you'll leave your name off of it until I tell you to put your name on it. And so I was in a very comfortable spot of this program, this training, this consulting, teaching it to a lot of other people, releasing people. And then when COVID hit, I had been feeling for about a year that God had told me to, he wanted to use my name now. And so in June of 2020, which was almost exactly 20 years after he said, don't do it, I spoke to probably 30 leaders. I spoke to my business partners, my wife and my children, and 100% of them said, we think God wants to use your name now. So I actually built a personal website for the first time, started a podcast, started writing blogs, and did start, you know, putting my name on the material we use. And it was hard because I questioned, what if I'm wrong? You know, God, you're doing this wonderful thing with this. And what if I put my name on it and I kill it? And so that was really a tough decision for me.
So you found it like, hang on, you've been leading multi-million dollar companies, making decisions left, right, and center, good and bad. And, you know, this has been a 40, 50 year journey. Are you telling me that you still question, what if I screw it up? What if I get it wrong? I think this, I mean, and that itself is hearing that from you, and just, it's like, oh, there's hope for me. But tell us more about that and that process that, like, that, you know, how did you then process and come to that decision of, I'm going to do this while knowing I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to put my name on something that God wants, that God originally told me to leave my name off. How did you know that was God speaking to you at that time to do?
Well, you know, I can feel the presence of God, and later we'll talk about the difference in faith and feeling. But when I feel that presence, I'm fairly sure I know. But instead of knowing that I know, because I've taught my employees forever that you very seldom ever make a mistake. If you think you're right, you only make them when you know you're right. And so instead of knowing I was right, you know, thinking that that's what God was sharing, like I told you, I went and talked to mentors. I talked to my business partners. I talked to all of our staff, our what we call our inner core. We have 14 people on the inner core team. I asked them, what do you think? Is it time? I'm not wanting to do it, but we all knew at some point that God had said at some point, I want to use your name again. And so, yeah, I went through all that. I talked to my wife. We prayed about it. I talked to all three of my daughters, and all of them said, Dad, we think you're 10 years too late. I mean, but that's your, you know, that's your kid being kind. So yeah, it was a lot of prayer, a lot of questions, a lot of prophetic words started coming in that year. And many of them were that you've waited too long, that you're behind God. And so it felt right by the time we did it. But I still question, am I going to kill the whole program if we miss?
Yeah.
Is God going to take his hand off of it?
And so super fast.
Thank goodness, Andy, just real quick, right, the opposite happened.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What has happened since then?
It accelerated. It didn't just, he didn't take his hand off. He actually put the pedal down on it. So we're fairly sure that's what he said to do.
Yeah, now you can look back. I love that about Moses. Yeah. When Moses is standing before God and he says, how will I know this is you and that this is going to happen? And God says, you're going to do what I told you to do. And when you get back here, having done what I told you to do, you can know that it was me telling you to do it. It's like, I'm not sure if that's so certain. So the encouraging thing from you, Ford, is hearing that this is always a journey of faith. This is always a journey of trust, that even when you've built a $300 million company and you're advising global leaders, you're still walking through, what if I don't want to screw it up? What if I screw it up? And I love what you just said, gave us a key. You do screw it up when you know you're right. It's because you boldly run in, there's pride right there. But when you think you're right, that puts you in a position to then seek out wise counsel. And so clearly that's what you've done. And it's also so encouraging to hear someone with your leadership resume and success resume that you're still doing that. So just how have you stayed humble in that regard? How have you, like, I know of companies that'll pay anything to have you come in and consult, train, equip. How do you stay in a point where you, just like what you said, I think I'm right, but I'm seeking the advice of my wife, my input from my kids, and some my core team. How have you stayed humble?
Well, Andy, about 20 years ago, one of the very first trainings we ever did, we brought 30 people into a room, and I gave them a legal pad and did a leadership brain dump. And I took them through 6 days of training over 6 months. Then we did it again. And on the second one, there was a couple in there of about 30 people. And the man asked me, he said, Ford, he said, I didn't realize this. He said, but you've helped our family. You've helped our marriage and both of our children. And over the 6 months, I've learned that you've helped all 30 of these people. And you've not said a word. That's just me talking about them. He said, so I realized if I'm in the room with 30 people and you've helped them all, how many more there could be? And he said, one of these days, I'd love to be able to do what you do. He said, how do you do this with the burden? I know what my family put on you. You know, just us, if all these other people did the same thing, how do you take those burdens that we put on you and make it? Because it's got to be overwhelming. And I said to him, I said, about 2 years ago, I learned something that I didn't know before. And once I learned this, it made things much simpler. And he said, what was it? I said, I learned that I'm not God. In other words, all I can do is give you the counsel. I can't make you take it. And if you choose not to, I don't take your burdens with me. I'll cry with you. I'll pray with you when I'm in the room with you. But when I leave, you're on your own. I mean, I'll pray for you, but they don't go with me. And I started praying all those years ago, Andy, that God give me the courage to be humble and the humility to be courageous.
Yeah.
You know, give me the courage to be bold, but do it in a way that it's not arrogant or prideful, but it's humility to be courageous and the courage to be humble.
Thank you, Ford. I think there's another little testimony when you throw in here of you making a really dangerous decision to follow the voice of God, which is about a week, 10 days ago. Tell us that little story that's a humorous, fun, the water-based story that I just think's fantastic and just gives an insight into a little bit of who you are as well.
Okay, help me again. Which story?
Buying water.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And so I was in Sam's with a list, and I was buying the stuff for the house, and we've kind of agreed not to buy a lot of water, bottled water anymore, just because all the plastic and stuff. So we have pH balanced water containers in our home, so we purify it, but we don't want to continue to, my wife's a real green, you know, person. And I was walking by the water and I thought God told me to pick up 4 cases of water. And so I did it. And so when I got home, I took it in the closet in the garage. So I put 2 of the containers in there and I left 2 of them in my car. Not that Sandra would have ever gotten upset over it, but I didn't want to have to really explain it. we're not doing this anymore now. I'm doing exactly what we said we weren't going to do. Well, then, as you know, last week in Texas, you know, a lot of people lost their electricity. We lost our water. And, of course, we had all that water there, so we never had a shortage in the whole time. So, praise God. He delivered the water before the storm came.
Just, I want you guys to hear this. There's a couple of things. One is that Ford had a conviction that he heard Jesus say, buy water. So he's obedient, but he's nervous about his wife seeing it in the conversation. And he's like, oh, I'm not so sure I want my wife to know that I followed the voice of God, until then a few days later, they have a water break, like the whole Texas utilities breaks down. I just think that's so cool. And just how the goodness of God is just leading you in this.
Well, Andy, as I told you when we were talking, I heard her talking to her brother and she was laughing because he was saying, how are y'all doing with no water? Of course, she was saying, well, Ford. And so she was telling him that we did have water and here was wine. But Andy, here's what I've learned over the years. You know, being obedient and getting it right isn't that much different than being obedient and getting it wrong. You know, and so that obedience, I think, is what God's looking for.
Yeah. Tell me more about that, because on this side of that, it's like, man, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to mess up. I don't want the embarrassment. I don't want the failure. I'm scared of what they would do to my family. So help me understand about the being obedient and getting it wrong. Unpack that a little bit for me.
Okay. So, you know, there was back in 2008, you know what happened to the economy. But right before that happened, I believe God spoke to me that between 10 or 11 things were going to happen in our country. And one of those is that the stock market was going to go down by 50%. Okay, so I called my broker 2 days later, both of them, and said, get me completely out of the market. And I hadn't been out since I was 18 years old. And they said, Ford, you're blowing it. We've never had a market like we have now. And I said to them, this is an act of obedience. This is not an act of saving or making money. And so if the market doubles, I'm okay with it because God said, get out. Now, the truth is it did go down 50%. So we saved half of our money of our retirement. But my point to them was, even if it doubles, it doesn't matter. God said, get out. And that's how I answered both of their questions. Well, one of those guys got all of his clients out and put them in gold. Well, he became number one in his company. And the other one said, you're wrong. There's no chance that can happen. But my point is that was an act of obedience.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if it was wrong, I was going to be obedient and make that decision.
So, so good. It reminds me of the story of, you know, Bonhoeffer. I mean, Bonhoeffer gave his life fighting against Hitler, and a German theologian, if people don't know the story. And I've always struggled with it because of, like, surely God, it would have been smarter for him to survive, and then being a part of help rebuilding Germany. And I was asking the author of the book that wrote his biography, now, help me understand this. Surely this was crazy. And he nailed me on exactly the same thing. He says, no, that he was a man that followed the voice of God in obedience. So if he acted in obedience and died, it's better than not acting and not following obedience. So it's the same thing what you're talking about is I'd rather be obedient to God and lose face with people than anything else, which leads me to Ford. You talk continually about hearing the voice of God to buy water, hearing the voice of God to get out of the stock market in 2008. How did you learn to hear the voice of God, and what does hearing the voice of God look like for you?
Well, you know, years ago, I was suicidal. I held a gun in my hand. I was a spiritual gifts pastor at our church. I was cheating on my wife. And I went to this homeopathic doctor who was also a chiropractor. And he touched me with his hands. And he said, how long have you been depressed? And I said, how do you know I'm depressed? And he said, I can feel it in your liver. I thought, okay, this guy's just a weirdo. And then he asked me what kind of antidepressants I'm taking. And I said, how do you know? And he said, I can feel them in your spleen. And I said, okay, this guy's just a whack job. But he said to me, Andy, he said, what would it be worth to you if you weren't depressed anymore? And I said, $1 million? He said, I'm going to hold you to that. I said, that wasn't an offer. That's just what it'd be worth. Anyway, and he said, will you let me cleanse your liver? And I said, it's not in my liver. It's in my head. He said, not yours. All these years, I've been on off and on antidepressants since I was 15 years old. He said, yours is in your liver. But he said this before I got up off the table. He said, did you know that when your body, mind, soul, and spirit are all lined up, you will hear God's voice in a way that you never thought possible? And I wrote the foreword in his book years later because I walked all the way to my car thinking, this guy's an absolute kook. I'm cheating on my wife. I'm the spiritual gifts pastor. And by the way, seeing healings like crazy when I was praying for people, even in that, which God's bigger than our faith. That's just a little point there. Yet he was right that when we focus on all those parts being aligned, you know, love the Lord God emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. The second one's equal to the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, when we're hearing God and we're in that intimate relationship with God, you know, we do sense his presence. You know, you don't have to go to church to sense God's presence. You don't have to even have music. You know, everything we do is worship. I started learning, wow, everything I do is worship. My emails are worship. How I raise my children is worship. How I make business decisions is worship. And when all those parts are lined up, and it's hard to explain, but you just know things that you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the best way I can describe it.
I love that. So, if you want more of this, if you listen to this and you're like, I want to hear more, learn to hear the voice of God, jump onto the Heaven of Business platform. You can jump in there, heavenofbusiness.com/free-trial, and just search for hearing God. And there's some training that'll really help you in this. So I love that Ford's identified for him He just knows. Like, that's one of the, like we would say, four different ways. People, some people just hear, like they hear a thought, an idea. Some people, they just know. Some people, they sense or they feel things. And then others see pictures. It's all just different. It's all different ways that everybody hears the voice of God more than we realize. Ford, you've talked about a bunch of things where, you know, you've heard God, you've acted, you've led, you've made decisions, and you get them right. So have you ever got it wrong? And never, what's happened then?
Never missed in my life. Of course I've gotten it wrong. You know, that's one thing about being successful in business. If you aren't getting it wrong at least 5 or 10% of the time, you aren't going to be near as successful as you're going to be if you get it right every time. And that's because that's called taking a risk. And what if God told you to do something knowing that it wasn't the best thing for you, but knowing that long term, it was much better for you to make that mistake than it was to make it later? Now, most of the mistakes I've made, Andy, in business were before I learned to hear the voice of God.
Oh.
Okay. When I was making decisions that were, you know, the me frequency, you know, it wasn't the God frequency, it was the Ford frequency. And so when the me frequency was in play, you know, I would make decisions that were good for me. And when the God frequency is in play, I try to make decisions that are good for others. And what I found is you make decisions. So probably the biggest business mistake I ever made is when we were in the apparel business. And like I told you, we became the largest in our industry in the decorated sportswear apparel business in our industry at the time. And this was 20 years ago. It's like one of our teammates said, this is back when $300 million meant something.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we were doing is we were buying broken companies. So we would buy broken companies. I personally would go in, teach them the tools, put a management team in place, and then go buy another one. Well, then we decided to buy two companies that were highly successful. And so when we did that, what we found out, one was in New York and one was in Washington State. Well, all of our others, you know, we were in Ohio, Texas, I mean, more in the Midwestern South. Well, guess what? The cultures in those two states,
very different.
Very different. And they were successful. They didn't need me to help them know what to do. And it just destroyed the whole culture in our company, just obliterated it. You know, what we had, the family that we had built. Yeah, it was terrible.
So how did, so hubris born of success.
I'm sorry?
If the read the book, built the How the Mighty Fall, is like we succeeded. So we could do anything, and boom. I love how you described it, the me frequency. It's about me compared to the God frequency when I'm making decisions for others. So how did you, like, that's a pretty devastating decision. Like, how did you recover? How did you navigate that?
I almost didn't. Okay. I had told the company, because we had moved to Ohio, and I'd given them a 2-year commitment to be the CEO of this new public thing that we had started so small, that I'd gave them 2 years to be the CEO. And I moved our family here. And during that time, I was doing all the cheating. And so my life, the business life, was very high moral, high integrity, everything. My personal life, there was a huge dichotomy. And so who I put myself out to be and who I really was, that was devastating. And so what happened when that decision was made, and just so you know, I didn't agree with it. It doesn't matter, but I got outvoted 6-1. But when it was made and we did it, and I had this dichotomy going on, I mean, I almost didn't make it. I mean, there were people on our management team in my office saying, if you don't stop crying, we will carry you to the hospital. Wow. I mean, I almost didn't make it. I held a gun. I drove to the bridge of the river. Thank goodness I got out of that. I left that. I resigned from that to take some time to not be in control. And that's when God started. That's when I started meeting these other people that started taking care of me and helped me turn my life around.
So what I'm hearing you
say, I wasn't successful.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, you succeeded, and then started to make poor decisions out of the me frequency, listening to yourself, which was the business decision and the personal decisions that were devastating you, and you were reaping the consequences of that. But in the kindness of God, it actually brought you to your senses. How did that then turn around to where you are to today? Like, to even to hear what you went through in some massive losses in the business, massive gains and then massive losses, but the personal loss in terms of, you know, one, the point of suicide, two, marriage. How did you turn that around?
Well, like I said, I was a spiritual guest pastor at our church, and my pastor and his wife, who had lived 33 years in Cyprus, Israel, and Africa, and then they were 11 years with us, and then they went 7 years back and ran the house of prayer in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And so when I took over as a spiritual gifts pastor, they asked me, when they asked me to take it over, I wrote a curriculum that after everybody went through the class, Anita, the pastor's wife, and I would meet with them two-on-one and help them with their gifts, not just at church, but in the marketplace. So this is years ago. And so we were showing them how to use their gifts. And every single person we met with, Andy, I mean, Dale and Anita said, Ford, after all those years overseas, we've never seen answered prayer and miracles when you pray them. Now, you want to talk about being confused. I mean, I'm praying for chromosomes to be replaced in the womb. I mean, I'm talking about knees. I mean, the stuff you're talking about, and it's happening, okay? And all the way home, I was beating on the steering wheel saying, God, what about me? And then one day, Dale and Anita came to me and they said, Ford, you know, you wrote this interview process. Why don't we all three interview each other? We've never been through it. But every single interview we did, we saw miracles. If I'd have thought about it, I would have said no. But it came time for them to interview me. And one of the questions, Andy, was, if you could do whatever you wanted to do with your life, what would you do? And Anita, Southern Oklahoma, she said, Ford, if you could do whatever. Now, I wrote all the questions, so they never got to finish the question because I'm a left brain in charge guy, right? And so I cut her off like I'd been cutting her off on all the questions and answering them. And she said, if you could do whatever. And I said, I'm doing it. You know, I'm getting to be a consultant. I'm getting to help all these companies that are successful. I don't have the pressure of being president. Look at my wife. She's absolutely gorgeous. I got three wonderful kids. You know, I'm just going on and on. And finally she said, would you just hush up a minute? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, Ford, if you could do whatever you knew God called you to do with your life, what would you do? Boom. I went into a fetal position crying so hard. And when I got up, I said, well, if I were doing what God called me to do, I'd probably quit hiding behind moral and integrity. I said, I'd probably talk about Jesus more. And then they said, and I told them two times that God had called me to do city transformation work. And both times I told him no. And they said, why don't you do that? And I said, because God doesn't talk to me anymore. And there's a reason. And they said, let's pray. And all I can tell you, Andy, is that's the first time in my life after that prayer. And they say this after 50 years. They still say they've never seen the manifest presence of God like they saw that day. But I knew after that prayer time that Paul's Damascus road trip took place. I knew it. And while I had been trying to get out of one of these relationships for 2 years, I was able to walk out and cut it off. And then I started seeking counsel and help and started trying to get rid of the me factor. And then 2 years later, I finally told Sandra what I had done. And like I say, she forgave me. And I believed that 2 years before I told her that God told me, because I started hearing his voice again, that if I would be obedient, that he would take all those mistakes and he would give me something that he would take around the world. If I'd leave my name off until he told me to put it on. And so it was it literally was a moment in time.
Wow. So there is hope for anybody.
Well, you know, if God can, you know, if he can work through a donkey, he can work through a, you know what.
So if you were going to say anything to this group that are listening, we're all in business. We're all in some form of relationship. We may have success. We may not, but we're on this call because we want to grow with God and we want to grow in business and we want to grow in our calling to stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful. What advice would you, if like we're sitting before Ford and everything you've learned, how would you advise us? How do we live this well?
I'd say number one, have a mentor or more. Have people that you're on the road with and have someone that you're mentoring. In other words, make a disciple, be a disciple, and walk with peers. That's huge. The second thing I would say is resolve conflict quickly. Understand that conflict is not bad. Unresolved conflict is bad. Conflict plus resolution leads to productivity, unity, which leads to unity engagement, which leads to productivity. So solve it quickly. Number three, when you're in a conflict, the winner is actually the loser. In other words, you can win the argument with your wife and lose your wife. You can win the argument with your child and lose your child. You can win it with your boss and lose your job. So start thinking that when you are in an argument, a relational conflict, the winner is actually the loser. And the other thing I would say is it took me years on this one, but I would encourage you, if you can learn how to give up your need to be right without losing your passion for truth, it puts you in a different place. And number five and last, you know, we can choose where we put our faith. We can put our faith in God, we can put our faith in man, or we can put our faith in the devil. And I'll argue that wherever you put your fear is where you put your faith. And the Bible says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he says, pray for wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. He says, when a wise man is rebuked, he loves you even more. And then he goes on and says, and after wisdom comes my honor and glory. So I'd put my faith and my fear in God, and I wouldn't worry so much about what man says or thinks. And I sure wouldn't worry about what the devil thinks.
This is just so good. I know there's people listening and you wanting more. Like, you just realize, oh my gosh, I'm just listening to a white-haired man, and that's from wisdom. Like, there's those wrinkles, the scars of growth. Yeah. And I've just had the pleasure of walking really, really closely with Ford for the last year. And it's just been an absolute pleasure. And I've gotten to read Ford's book, Relational Leadership. Actually, I've listened to it 2.5 times because the stories, you just heard story after story after story. And out of those stories comes so much truth. So I just encourage you, if anything that Ford's touched on, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to hear that again. That didn't make sense. Or I need that to be unpacked. Grab that book, because that's full of those stories. Is there anything else you'd want to say about the book, Ford?
No, just to be sure that they know that everything we do is called plain glass or stained glass, which is either overt or covert biblical principles. And this particular book is plain glass. It's covert. And so if you're a believer, you're going to see every page full of biblical principles, but there's no scriptures in there. And so it has the ability to impact others with truth. And by doing it this way, it gives us the opportunity in companies and in governments and in families to be able to, when they ask where you find this truth, it gives us the chance to then move over and be overt and give what I call the rest of the story, which is share Jesus with them. So it's done that way by design.
Super good. And then you're also doing a workshop with us. So Heaven and Business is hosting a workshop online with Ford coming up in March 25 to 26. I'm just posting that link there right now. It's called Transformational Leadership. Now that is, we're going to get both. You will get the plain glass principles, but you'll also get full on Jesus at the center of it all. Ford, what are you looking forward to most about that?
Well, you know, Andy, so much of my time is spent being plain glass, because that's just what God's called me to. You can't stand in front of a parliament and a prime minister and talk about Jesus, because if you do, the prime minister can't bring you in. But if you can give them the biblical truths, it gives you the chance to meet one-on-one, or even 20 of them come speak to our small group. We can tell you're a believer. But what I look forward to when I'm working with you on these things, you know, the fruit of the spirit, right? One of them is self-control. And so it takes a lot of self-control to do the plain glass training. Yeah. And when I'm with you on these, I don't have to have any self-control. You know, yeah. I can go right for the throat with Jesus, the principles, and how they're connected. I look forward to it.
So it's going to be 2 days, as in there'll be 4 hours each day for 2 days. You can see that it'll be recorded. You will also get to download the entire work. There's an entire manual. And then what you also get access on the back of that is 3 months access to Ford's online training, which is Transform Lead on Demand. Ford, tell us more about that.
Well, you know, early on when we first started, we wouldn't let over 30 people in a room, and that was the max size of the class. And then God kept giving us more and more different models where we now can do whatever the room will hold. But as that happened and the demand started coming from so many other countries, needless to say, we couldn't get to everybody. So we put the training on what's called a virtual interactive training platform. And it's not quite the same experience as a live event, but it's really, really close. The neat part about the online platform is if you do it and you do it with someone else, it actually has a bigger impact than the live training. And so that's exciting for us.
Is doing it in groups. And I'm seeing that work now. So I know personally I've benefited. I'm now passing on this clients and colleagues and referring them, go through this. And I'm seeing that happen everywhere. I was just on a call yesterday and with a friend in North Carolina. I think I shot you the text of him. And he's saying, yep, I just used the 6-step apology and it works. And just that that alone, plus just the ability of a tool that will set up a work environment with a relational covenant. This is how we're going to treat one another. That I've done with my team, which I would have thought my team was already on board. Like that, I don't need to do this. Like we're on the same page, but actually taking the time to sit and go through how do we want to treat one another? What's the way we're going to treat? And what are we going to do if someone doesn't treat one another like that? I was staggered at the feedback from my team saying, oh my gosh, this has been so good. I thought, Andy, wait, why are you doing this with us? Because we're having a business. We're good at this stuff. It's like, no, actually being intentional about it was so, so good. So people can jump on there. I know we've got a little bit of time before we jump off. Ford, have you got any time to have a couple of questions?
Absolutely. And Andy, one other thing on that online platform, they also get the stained glass version. You know, they'll also get the covert. So they'll get the TL, and then it'll transition from there into the biblical teaching that gives the foundation, not for every single page because it's just too much, but it gives a lot of the foundation for some of the most important critical parts in the TL. I didn't say that a while ago. So they'll get both in that period.
So make sure you check that out. If for any reason you're saying, I would really, really love to do that, but I cannot afford that, reach out to us, tell us your situation, and we can work it out. But I encourage you, it would be one of the greatest investments in your life. The theme that I'm hearing Jesus say for this year is two things. One, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's don't just seek the kingdom, but seek it his way. Seek it in the way. The words, the ways, the nature and the name of the king. And number two is leadership, is stepping up, standing up. And I'm amazed what's going on with people around me stepping into all sorts of weird spiritual things. And I'm having to speak like never before. And that's why we're focusing on this. It's growing our leadership capacity in business, organizational, relational, and every way around.